Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Have we had any bloopers in the opening credits?
A few.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
I'm John. I don't know why. He knows. That's why he asks.
Brother John's going to say a quick little prayer, and we'll get started.
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, thank you, as always, for giving us the opportunity to come together, to get to know you better, and to just take a moment to submit ourselves to you, Father. And we just want to give everything to you and ask that you work through us, whatever it is that you think is going to impact the people that choose to listen and what's going to impact us, Father. It's not just about us, though. And we love you. We thank you that you're faithful and that you're just, and that every promise that you have ever spoken, we can expect to happen. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Woo!
Woo! Give me two claps on Ric Flair. Woo! My bad.
Okay. All right. So, everything the last couple weeks has kind of started to, like, shift. Bible study.
Yeah. We made some adjustments.
Good adjustments. Like, everything has been really beneficial, I feel like.
I thought so, too.
I feel like everybody else kind of feels the same way.
Yep.
One of the things that we started doing was we started on this Just Now Media kick.
Right Now Media.
Right Now Media.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started on that. That has really brought a whole nother level of learning.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially for people like me. It's what these last two were three verses
were 8 minutes.
We've 8 minutes total each. We're 16 minutes in and we've only seen six verses.
Yeah. I think that the interesting part is like not every six verses is that like got that much meat on the bone.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to note that you can go six verses and have a whole lot of thought and a whole lot of reference and a whole lot of study just on six verses. Like, I was like, that blew my mind last night when we were thinking about that.
Yeah. And some of that stuff is the way that they lay it out is very teach worthy, I guess, is kind of what I'm looking for. You gain a lot from it. It's got some substance to it.
There were a few things that came out last night that were pretty interesting.
Yeah. And then we also changed up, like, we don't do the daily chapters anymore. Where we pick one chapter and we read that through the week and we kind of come back and we gain a little more because we're really focusing on that.
Right.
The reason that I'm bringing this up is we have a certain event coming up that's huge.
Yeah.
You know, we have Good Friday, we have Easter.
Yep.
What I'm getting at here is the importance of the new things. You had brought up that Good Friday wasn't Good Friday until after the resurrection.
Yeah.
Then it's a huge deal. I want to bring up the significance of change.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. I think that I don't know why I started thinking about that. I guess I probably do. Like, just thinking about, I've been thinking about Easter a lot and like what Easter represents. Not the, you know, secular family thing of hunting eggs and all that.
Easter bunnies and
but Easter Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection of Christ. Yes. Now, I understand that it doesn't fall on the exact day that Christ was resurrected. I understand that Good Friday doesn't fall on the exact day that Christ was crucified. I completely understand that. It's designed to be somewhere in the vicinity of, yeah. right, based on historical fact. And I was wondering, I was like, it's called Good Friday. And I remember thinking back when I was younger going, Good Friday is the day that Christ was crucified.
Yes.
But it couldn't have been Good Friday until after he was crucified and resurrected, right? Like, why would we? Oh, it's Good Friday because we just killed a man, an innocent man. And, you know, we made reference last week to the Barabbas thing and about how the cross that was constructed was actually meant for Barabbas. Yeah,
the one that he was crucified on was right. actually built for Barabbas.
Yeah. And so why would we call it Good Friday? Well, because the best news ever took place on that Friday. And the greater news happened on that Sunday. And it's all centered around this Passover celebration. And, you know, if nobody knows what the Passover celebration is about, it goes all the way back to the Israelites being enslaved to Egypt. And whenever Moses is going before the Pharaoh and like, hey, man, let my people go. And he's like, no. And then God sends a plague. And it happened repetitively. The final, quote, unquote, plague was taking all the firstborn sons of Egypt, right? And the way that the Israelites were protected was by taking the blood of a lamb and spreading it over their doorpost. Yeah. They call it the doorpost. And they
would pass over.
And pass over. So the angel of death would pass over them. And so from that point forward, that was a celebrated holiday.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, the lamb that was slain that protected you and I, for all eternity, was slain during that Passover celebration.
Yeah.
Which is Jesus Christ and on Good Friday. And, you know, the significance of change and, like, being made new, I think, is what you're alluding to yeah. and, like, leaning towards is, yeah. whew, that's a big thing, man.
So, the Wikipedia's Good Friday, also known as Black Friday, Holy Friday, Great Friday, Great Holy Friday, or Friday of the Passion of the Lord, is a solemn Christian holy day commemorating the crucifixion of Jesus and his death at Calvary. It was observed during Holy Week as part of the Paschal Triduum. I'm assuming that the Holy Week is the week of Passover, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
So,
because if you remember back from the actual story of Christ going into the city and then he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and all that, when he's going to be betrayed to the hands of the Romans, it was the Passover meal. Right, they had yeah. their Passover meal. Yeah. So the Last Supper is yeah. the Passover celebration yeah. meal that he had with all of the disciples. And there's another thing in there that we don't talk about. And you know what? I think the significance is from prophecy, but it's called Palm Sunday. Okay, so this is the Sunday before the crucifixion. And it's the only time that I know of that Christ rode on an instrument that was an animal like a horse or a donkey or something like that, other than walking his own 2 feet,
yeah.
right? Other than a boat, like besides a boat, because yeah. you had to get on a boat to get across water. But on land, we've never really heard or read anything in reference to Christ not walking, other than when he tells the disciples to go into town and get this donkey, right? And that's that where they get that donkey is where they go and have that Passover meal,
yeah.
the Last Supper, and he gets on this donkey's back and he's riding into town and people are laying palm leaves on the road in front of him, like, and that's why it's called Palm Sunday. And I'm not sure the significance other than I think it's prophesied that he would ride into town on a donkey and they would be laying palms at his feet. I believe, I could be wrong.
Palm Sunday is a Christian movable feast that falls on the Sunday before Easter. The feast commemorates Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. My reading is horrendous right now. An event mentioned in each of the four Gospels, its name originates from the palm branches waved by the crowd to greet and honor Jesus Christ as he entered the city. Palm Sunday marks the first day of the Holy Week in Western Christianity. So that's what marks the Passover.
Right, which is what I think kind of comes up when this episode will release, that Sunday coming up from that. And Passover and Palm Sunday come that same Sunday.
So another thing, Palm Sunday commemorates Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, fulfilling a prophecy and foreshadowing his victory over death.
Interesting. So the prophecy is somewhere in the Old Testament, right?
Yes.
I'm not sure where. We could look it up and find it. But how did the religious leaders who knew the prophecy, how did they not recognize this? Other than the thing is they just didn't believe it was true. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, they recognized all the signs, but they're like, this is no way. This is no way. Right? There's no way that this is this guy. Because he's not the general that we thought he would be. He's not the man who's going to separate us from the Romans. And I don't know. It's easy for me to say now, 2,000 years later, in retrospect. That's why they say hindsight is 2020,
but yeah.
2025. But it just, I don't know, man.
One of the more familiar, it says, from the Old Testament to the cross, one of the most familiar prophecies about Jesus is found in Isaiah 53, which describes the suffering servant.
Yeah.
In Isaiah 53:4, the prophet mentions how the suffering servant took up our pain and bore our suffering. This is exactly what the New Testament teaches about Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, in that he bore the punishment for mankind's sins. That's in Hebrews 9:28. I know that's not the Old Testament, but in Isaiah 53:4-5 is quoted directly by the Apostle Peter when talking about Jesus' death on the cross, demonstrating that Jesus had fulfilled this Old Testament prophecy. Peter stated, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. I know that's not
by his stripes you've been healed.
Old Testament either, but
that is Old Testament actually. It's in Isaiah.
Okay, well, there we go.
Yeah, so Zechariah
9. I'm thinking, because it's talking about Peter,
He repeats that, right? Yeah. He repeats that scripture, and that's how they tie things together. So Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 is where it talks about, "Rejoice greatly, Zion, shout, Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey," right? And then it's the foal of a donkey, interestingly.
Well, I like how it says right there, which foretold the Messiah's arrival on a donkey, not a war horse, symbolizing humanity and peace.
Yes.
And that's the thing that we always talk about, is that's why the Jewish people had such a hard time recognizing him as the Messiah, because he didn't look like they thought he should look. He didn't look like a general or, you know, a supreme leader like coming to wipe out all their enemies. He was full of love and patience and kindness. And that's the thing. He rides in on a friggin' donkey. They're expecting this dude to ride in on a friggin' iron horse and slinging swords and arrows and all this stuff. Yeah. And that's just not what he was about.
No, he was about peace and patience and kindness and self. Okay, you want to talk about the fruits of the Spirit, right?
I hate to use was.
Is.
It's past tense.
Yeah,
it's,
you're right.
Is. You're right. It's 100%. You know, when we talk about speaking life into things, speaking past tense is something that you would consider like, oh, when someone passes away, oh, he was a great guy. Or Jesus is alive.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was
thinking. He lives within us, and he is.
What was that scripture from earlier where he's talking about living within us and thinking like we need to stop talking about.
It's right behind you.
Our Savior, like he is a dead God.
Yeah.
He is alive.
That's why they call him the living God.
Okay, Galatians 2:20.
Yes.
I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer.
No, I'm just kidding.
Never mind. I was fixing to do something stupid. Never mind. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, right? And Christ is a living God, right? That's why whenever after the crucifixion, whenever Thomas was like, oh, well, I have to see the wounds in his hands and all that kind of stuff.
Doubting Thomas.
Like, yeah, he's like, let me show you. I'm alive. Yeah. I still have the scars.
Put your fingers right here.
Yeah, in the side, the little side wound. Nasty, gross.
That's where they jabbed him while he was already on the cross, right?
Yep. Yeah. That's prophesied as well, actually, that they would spear him while he was dead already. And they would throw dice for his clothes. That's in Old Testament scripture, man. And then, like, it's actually told in the Gospels that the Roman soldiers did that. They tossed dice to figure out who could keep his clothes. You know what I mean? Like, all that's prophesied hundreds of years before he ever even showed up. And then while he's on the cross and it happens, and then the earth shakes and the veil is torn.
Yeah.
And the Roman soldiers go,
we fucked up.
And then Johnny knew. Johnny effed up, bro. Yeah. I mean, like, they knew. And
it's at that moment he knew.
He effed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. But I think, again, what we're trying to talk about, it's about being made new, right? We think about all of our past mistakes, and we carry this baggage. You know, the only thing that we actually relate, like the only way that we actually relate to Christ is our scars. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he has scars too. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the only ways that we look like him.
Oh. Where did I see this? When it talks about the human aspect of Christ, it shows in our scars.
Yeah.
Where
I don't know. I wish I did, because I know that this isn't me. It's not off the top of the dome.
Golly, no. I've seen this. I've seen this somewhere.
But we're talking about being made new, right? And I think that a lot of times we think that being made new means not having any evidence of our past.
And our scars are what?
Right. But Christ was crucified and resurrected and had his wounds still.
Yeah.
Right? So think about that for a second. We think that once we are saved and we are made new,
all this goes away.
No. In the spiritual image of God, yes. In our physical image, no.
But what I think the importance of what we're talking about is that's how you know that you went through the struggle. If you carry the scars, people are going to be like, oh man, this dude, you know what I mean? And plus also it's one of the things that kind of reminds you not to go back down that road. Like if you hit a guardrail on a bicycle at 40 miles an hour and eat the freaking handlebars, you're going to remember that ain't what I ain't supposed to stay away from that.
Yeah.
That ain't cool. So I think it's an important reminder, like when you see your scars, when you notice your scars, whether they're physical or spiritual or
emotional
or mental, I mean, whatever they are, when you're going to feel those or you're going to see those, you're going to acknowledge those.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to keep you from making the same mistakes. But it's also a quiet reminder that, hey, we are only human to begin with.
Yeah.
And like you said, that's how we can be, like, carry the same physical attributes as Christ. We scar, we heal,
it's one of the ways that we are most like him. You know what I'm saying? Like, because the thing is like, we don't necessarily relate to him on the fact that because he always made all the right decisions, right? Like, you and I can't relate to that. We can't relate to always making the right decision. We can't relate to always reacting in the right way with love and humility and patience, right? We can't relate to that.
Just look at how every single thing that he does, especially every significant thing, it's like a parable.
Yeah.
Like, he teaches in ways that where he makes you question. He never really gives a definite answer. It's always like, well, If the glass is half full, could you not call it half empty as well? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he never gives anybody that, and they always try to bait him. They always try to bait him into like saying he was God.
Yeah.
And doing things like that. And
yeah,
he always come back with something like, He was fly, dude. He was fly.
That he was dude, savage. Yeah, I love that dude. Jesus was savage, bro. Savage. Yes, love it. I think that, you know, again, just the idea that it's now referred to on most calendars I've ever seen, it's referred to as Good Friday, right? But that Friday was not called Good Friday on the day that Christ was crucified.
No, and if you noticed when I was talking about it, it said one of them was Black Friday.
Yeah, Black Friday. Well, and that's the day that whenever he was crucified, the whole world went dark for a minute, right? Yeah,
like which is odd because they talk, you know, like we have the day after Thanksgiving is Black Friday.
For a totally different reason.
but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, and because, you know, we like to bastardize things, I like to think a little bit, and, you know, people take things too far sometimes.
Yeah. You think?
I'm pretty good at that too, but, you know.
Holy Friday, Great Friday, Friday of the Passion of the Lord. Jeez. I mean, there's a bunch of them, dude. Good Friday, Black Friday, Holy Friday, Great Friday, Great and Holy Friday, Friday of the Passion of the Lord. I know, like, the day, they like, Friday wasn't a thing back then.
No, it wouldn't have been called. Do you remember we watched that video of the guy talking about Nissan 17?
Yeah. Dude.
It's a date on the calendar of the Jewish calendar.
It's the Hebrew calendar.
Yeah, and he's like, Nissan 17, like, he's like, well, it's not the model of a new Corolla. Yes. You want to watch it?
Yes.
What is Nissan 17? Well, it's not the make and model of a new Altima or a Pathfinder, but it is a date on the Hebrew calendar, right? The Hebrew calendar, they have different names for their months, and one of those months is Nisan. And on the 17th day of Nisan, we're told in the story of Noah, the ark comes to rest on Mount Ararat. And you're thinking, okay, well, who cares? Why are we talking about this? There is something about that day that is very special to the Lord, because not only does Noah's ark come to rest on Mount Ararat on Nisan 17, but the Israelites cross the Red Sea on that day, a brand new beginning, leaving the land of death and bondage in Egypt to start a new beginning. Joshua enters the promised land and eats the first fruits of the land on Nisan 17. Esther saves all of Israel from genocide in that book on Nisan 17. But the most important one, the crux of our faith, which is the resurrection of Christ from death, where sin and death are finally defeated, happens on Nisan 17.
I mean, it's just the idea that this all happens on the same date on the Hebrew calendar.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's like, recognize that all of those things are separated by a long span of time, right? So Noah and his ark come to rest on Nisan 17 at the top of Mount Ararat to Jesus' resurrection.
Thousands of years.
A couple thousand years difference. Like, that's a big deal. That's a lot. And for those...
But the multitude of significant events.
Yeah.
Moses, they crossed the Red Sea.
On Nisan 17. Yeah,
dude, yeah. Like, all the... I mean, there's a multitude of historical events that happen on that date.
Joshua entered the promised land. They ate the first fruits of the promised land on Nisan 17. You know, it's just crazy. I don't know when Nisan 17 is, but I kind of want to know now.
Clearly, it's
a very important day. And I think it probably happens yearly, right?
Yeah, well, it has to. I mean, it has to. It can't happen. I mean, for all these historical biblical events to happen on this date, it has to occur yearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just crazy. If we could pinpoint when the original Black Friday, Good Friday, Holy Friday, yeah. You know what I mean? If we could just like find out when that was.
Okay. Very interesting that you're talking about.
But
that.
Back then, did they not have like a 13-month calendar?
So the Hebrew calendar is going to be different from our calendar. Yeah. So maybe that's why Easter falls on different Sundays every year.
Yeah.
Because Nisan 17 wouldn't fall on the same, like the same. Our calendar is very symmetrical, pretty much. Every year it changes by a day. You know, every day falls a day later, unless it's a leap year, then it's some after the leap year is 2 days later.
Yeah.
Right. And so Nisan 17 would not land on the same day every single year. It would land at a different point.
Yeah.
And that's why this year Easter falls on April 20th, where last year or a couple years ago was on March 20th, right? So it's within a month of each other. But maybe that's
Easter
why.
Easter was in March?
It's usually in March, actually. It changes. It's fallen on my birthday one time in my lifetime.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's look that up.
I thought Easter was always in April.
Mm-mm. Let's see here. Okay. Easter breakdown. 2005, it was on April 10th. 2006, it was on March 26th. 2007, it was on March 25th. 2008, it was on March 23rd. 2009, it was on April 12th. 10, April 4th. 11, April 24th. You see what I'm saying? So, like, it bounces around. So, I don't know why.
What the fork?
What the fork?
You're kidding me, bro.
There was a stretch of time where it landed in April for several years. Look at that. From 17 through 23, it landed in April. And then last year, actually, it was March 31st.
I'm blown away. I guess I've just never, I mean, shame on me.
No shame. No shame.
Okay, so. I can't. I don't even know how to read this one. This is kind of ridiculous. Astronomical Easter. Okay, April 5th, March 27th, April 16th, April 1st, March 24th, April 12th, 4th, 17th, 9th, March 31st, April 20th, 5th, March 28th, April 16th, 1st, 21st, 13th. Oh, these are going. This is all the way up until the year 2035. So next year, it's going to be April 5th. 2027, it'll be March 28th. Holy crap, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was such. I thought it was like it's always on the third Sunday of April.
It's within you a know few what I mean? Weeks. Like, it's within a few weeks, right? And so, like, it landed on my birthday, April 23rd in 2001. That was the year I turned 21, right? So. Okay, now
what better way to celebrate Easter by being legal to go to the bar?
I'm sure I did.
I know you did.
I know I did too. And I,
wow, this is insane, dude. I mean, how shameful of me to be 44 years old and I'm just now learning this.
Holy smokes! On the Hebrew calendar, Nisan 17, 5785. Corresponds to Tuesday, April 15th, 2025. What? You remember we were talking about God's time?
April 15th this year is Nisan 17.
Yeah. It's the Sunday before. Easter's on the 20th.
So it's freaking Palm Sunday.
That's crazy. It's 5 days before Good Friday.
What the f-
But it says that's year 5785. Now think about timelines and think about how we were talking about how like Abraham had lived to be like 800 years old and you know what I'm saying? And like Noah had lived to be 650 and all this stuff. Like you start looking at that and you start looking at the description of time. Like I think it might be lost in translation a little bit.
So this, you were talking about 15 or 5785. What, I mean, Tuesday, Nisan 7, it's spelled Nisan. Up there it was spelled Nisan, like N-I-S-A-N. This is spelled N-I-S-S-A-N, like Nisan.
Nisan.
17, 5785, April 15th, 2025. Is right. Am I talking right?
That's yep, that's what up. I see. And then you look at Passover. Nisan is the month when Passover is celebrated, commemorating the Exodus from Egypt. So because the Hebrew calendar doesn't line up to ours, right? That's why Easter doesn't fall on the same date and month every year. we're putting it in somewhere in a general vicinity of, right?
Isn't the Hebrew calendar 13 months?
Well, no way. It had to be shorter because they're already in 5785. Oh, well, I don't know when their calendar started. 5785 is that's the year we're in currently for Hebrew. How the heck did we end up here? I know. How
I don't know. Okay, so
but it's interesting.
Okay, so the Jewish calendar. No, it's longer. It's more months than that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Yes, it's 13 months. 13 month calendar. Yes. Okay, so
how long has it been, and how long have they been using it? I got that. Keep talking.
Dude. So, and what's crazy about this is you divide. Okay, so how they get there is every month it has equal days. Like every month has 28 days or 29 days or whatever.
Right.
And so there's no leap years. If you know, like our February has 27 or 28 days, 29 days and or whatever. It's like 28 and then leap year is
29.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every other month it's like 30 days, 31 days, 30 days, 31 yeah. days and then 28 or 29.
But so they it's like theirs it looks like to me all are 20 okay so the first month is 30 days, the second month is 29, third month's 30, fourth month's 29. Fifth month's 30, sixth month's 29, seventh month is 29. Nisan is 30. Next month is 29, 30, 29, 30, 29.
How crazy is it that okay.
How crazy that they gain a whole nother month just by shortening each month a day? And you know, there's only...
You know that we follow the Roman calendar, right?
Yes.
That's how we, that's the calendar we follow. And interestingly enough, it's the Romans that were the last to rule over, or were the ones who were ruling over the Israelites when Christ was crucified. But if you read through this on the screen up there, the Hebrew calendar is based on a lunar solar system and starting point of 3761, 3,761 years before Christ enlightenment. That's what BCE means, before Christ enlightenment. And the current form...
basically like BC, and then the CE, yeah. Christ enlightenment's like AD.
AD, yes. Its current form was established in 350 CE or AD, which is 350 years after Christ died. So basically, this calendar has been in use for 5,000 years.
Yeah.
Almost 6,000 years.
Huh.
It's, whew, that's some.
Yeah, like we've been, I don't know how long we've been using ours, but we really fudged up. Like it'd be cool to have all these significant events, like, that you could track like that. We can't track that because we don't know.
I think they line up relatively close.
Periodically, but they have a whole more month. They have an extra month.
Yes.
They have 13-month calendar. We have 12.
However, Hanukkah lines up every year to the same date frame relative to Christmas, right? And the Jewish people in this country aren't going to let that fly if it's not close or not there, right? Does that make sense? So calendaristically, like the holidays fall.
Calendaristically.
That's a weird word. I don't even think it's real. I'm making up words over here. I'm just
saying, like, bro, when you dropped that, I was like, calendaristically.
Yes. Hey, I don't know what the science of calendars is, but, you know, whatever.
It's calendaristically.
But if you think about it, like, the dates fall relative to the Jewish calendar on our calendar.
They're within arm's reach.
So it's got to be there, right? It's got to be close. Or else they wouldn't put it on our calendar.
Well, yeah. Okay, so I did not know, nor have I ever had this conversation. But I assumed, because when they talk about the 12 days of Christmas, and kind of how Hanukkah falls. Yeah. It's usually like 12 days before Christmas. It starts like 12 days before Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, here lately been in this and kind of looking at it in a different way. It's like,
okay, so for us, Christmas is supposed to be the celebration of Christ's birth, the Savior coming.
Yes.
So what is Hanukkah? Because they don't celebrate Christmas, no. Right? They don't celebrate the coming of a Christ that they don't believe, right? So what is Hanukkah?
No, which is funny, but they will give gifts to each other.
Yeah.
Through Hanukkah, but don't celebrate Christmas.
We would need some help with this.
Okay, so bro, you want to hear something even crazier?
Yeah.
Is, you know, my old partner, he's Orthodox Jew.
Yeah.
One year, me and my mom and my son talked him into having Easter at his house.
What?
Yes.
No way, yes, dude.
I swear on my life, if I'm lying, I'm dying.
Oh, my goodness.
We hunted Easter eggs and everything. And this dude was like, this is so amazing.
Oh, my.
I am dead serious, bro. Dead serious.
He knew what Easter was about, right?
Yes. Yes, but his kids...
It was the Easter celebration.
So his kids are half white, you know.
Right, like they're American.
American.
Yeah,
they're, you know...
They're not Hebrews.
They're not... He is...
Or Israelite.
He is from Jerusalem. He is hardcore Orthodox Jew.
Yeah.
But then you have his children's mother, which is hardcore American white girl, you know what I mean?
Likes burgers and bacon and all that.
So his kids had been seeing all this stuff, and I talked to him. I was like, I don't really have anywhere to have Easter. He's like, we'll have Easter here. And so my mom like stuffed eggs, bro. And I'm telling you, he's like texting me. He's like, that's the most fun I've ever had.
That's crazy.
Dude, and it was awesome. Oh, it was awesome.
It's crazy to me because it's like,
I didn't realize how crazy it was until several years later. The one that was sitting there and he said, yeah, I said, praise Jesus. And he looked at me and he was like, Jesus
was a prophet.
And I was like, oh, like
my bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's crazy, dude. I can't believe you did that. I know that was like not intentional, obviously. Like you weren't trying to hurt him or anything.
No, but what was cool about it is he was like, no, we're going to do this at my house.
Yeah. And he was just trying to be a good friend. And, you know.
Yeah, but his kids are running around hunting eggs. And my mom's got, she made prize eggs, like $5 bills in there. And then she had candy eggs and like she had all this stuff. And I bet there was like, probably, dude, there was easily 12 dozen eggs out there.
That's
awesome. There's like six kids hunting them.
140.
Yeah, dude, it was freaking crazy.
That's awesome. I love it. I wanted to, since we're in the vein of continuing through the process of, the crazy thing is we're going to talk about all of these things 100 million times before, because we're never going to stop doing what we do. But it's like the reason we changed what we were doing with the Bible and reading like one chapter at a time. Don't get me wrong. We're not going to stay doing it one chapter at a time because it'll take us 400 years to read the book of the Bible, the whole Bible. But right now we're just kind of trying to take it in small doses and trying to be consistent, right? And like learning that the more consistent we are, the more we see, right? And
The more intentional we are,
the more
we learn and the more we see. And that was, I think that was the biggest part of it, is we wanted to be a little more intentional with our reading.
Yeah. One of the things that I was proud of, not necessarily because it's still cringy to me, but that I highlighted my Bible for the very first time.
Oof. Yeah. You popped your cherry, bro. Popped
your cherry. For the very first time,
I'm a highlighter guy, man. Like I'm risky with it too. I'm like,
I've never been opposed to it, but for me personally, like I've never ever actually highlighted my physical paper Bible.
Yeah.
Right. Like my Bible in my phone, all over the place. Right. But I don't have, it doesn't matter to me. I don't say it doesn't matter to me, but like there was something, there's something about the physical copy that's just different.
It is different. It's also different when you read it. And correct. I totally understand where you're coming from. But here's where you will appreciate the highlighted portions of that Bible.
Yeah.
When you're going through something, as we all are going to and do go through.
I'm probably fixing to.
The Bible that your dad gave me, it's the only Bible I read. I have a wonderful Bible right there that you got me. And it's yeah. got highlighter in it too.
Yeah.
But the one that I read on a daily basis is the one that your dad got me. It's the
recovery Bible.
Yeah. For anybody listening, anybody that's ever heard this show, everybody knows that I struggled with addiction in every aspect of my life. That is the Bible for you.
It's a good version. It's a great version.
That Bible is, dude, it looks like, I mean, I look like Mozart, Beethoven, Picasso. I'm an artist in this thing. And then I'll switch it up. I'm like, I'm over here with the yellow highlighter. I'm like, there's like 12 verses on this yellow. I'm going to switch it up to orange. You know what I mean? Like I'm trying to be artistic in this thing. In all seriousness, what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
When you are struggling through a very significant event, here's what will get you. You'll be thinking to yourself like, I need to get in God's word. And you'll flip your Bible open. And if you've been highlighting through there and you've been really hitting the verses that mean something to you, you will flip it. And when it opens, you will find something.
Yep.
And that is where it's going to be impactful. That's what's going to be your not saving grace. Cause I don't want to take anything away from the real saving grace.
Sure.
But yeah, that's going to be what's going to hit you. And you're going to be like, that's what I needed.
Interestingly enough, don't ask me. You'll know when I say it. Those marks are like scars.
Oh, yeah.
They are your reminders of things. And when you go back.
That's a great way of putting it.
And you.
Great way of putting it.
When you reopen that book, the book, God's Word, and you see something that you highlighted in a previous time, a couple of things can happen. Number one, you'll be reminded of where you were in that moment.
Yeah.
And how that scripture helped you. Number two, you'll go, man, I'm so far past that right now. You know what I mean? Where you can be like, gosh, I remember when that scared me. Or when I was worried about that. And now I know that I'm past it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's like a double-edged sword, but in a positive way. And that's why God's word is called sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
Right? It separates bone from marrow and wheat from chaff. Because if you engage with God's word, you cannot help but be changed. Yeah. And so we wanted to take it slower. Let's just take it a little slower.
Yeah.
Let's consume it small bites at a time.
Yeah.
We're going to find that the more we consume God's word in small bites, we're going to get bigger bits, right? Like we'll actually consume more by doing it in small doses. And as we go, we'll get bigger doses and because we're going to be trained to get those small bites. But the thing that I was kind of leading into is like, you know, over the next couple of weeks, like Easter's coming. So this is one of the biggest days of the year on the calendar for a Christian.
It also marks there's three significant days that CEO Christians go to church.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest days. Yeah.
Christmas, Easter, and occasionally
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day as well. Yeah, yeah you're right. Yeah, because everybody goes to church with mama and takes her to lunch,
mm-hmm.
right? And we all want to go to Christmas with mama.
Dad's just, guess what? You get to cook for us. You know what I mean? Like, dude, it's true.
Hey, you know what? I got to
play. And I would rather it, too. I would rather, for Father's Day, I'd rather cook for everybody. I'd rather cook for everybody for Mother's Day. I would way rather
do that. I think we should boycott everybody in our families and just do a dudes for Father's Day.
Yeah.
All the fathers that you, me, all our brothers, and we just do the dudes. Everybody else leave us alone.
So the most memorable Father's Day I've ever had with my dad we, it's Father's Day. I don't remember how it happened. It ended up just being me and him. He takes me down to Palo Canyon and we go ride, you know, the Sad Monkey Railroad thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's trails up there.
Yep.
He takes me up there horseback riding. Mm. I've never been on a horse in my life until that point.
I'm sure you were terrified.
No.
No.
Dude, the horse I was on was like totally chill. My dad was sitting, my dad was behind me. The tour guide was in front of me. Like, he's like, come on, boy, we're going to Palo Canyon. And yeah. I'm like, what are you going to Palo Canyon for? And then we go and like, we just go ride. And it's like 3 hours long. Dude, it was like the coolest thing ever. Stop, let them drink out of the creek, you know. I mean, it was cool. It was super, super cool. That was cool. Like the most memorable thing. That's one of the most memorable things I have from my childhood.
Yeah. Haven't had a lot of super memorable Father's Days as a father or at all.
It's not the same for us as dads.
Yeah.
It's our kids that are going to remember. As dads, dude, we're not programmed to, as sad as it's going to sound, we're not programmed to really
care.
Well, not necessarily care, but we're not to recognize. Like, we're just kind of like,
we're here. Hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
It's like
dads don't really get gifts.
You know, that time of year is coming for me, and it's Easter, and then right after that, it's my birthday. And, you know, my wife's trying to plan something, which, you know, cool, I guess. But just
kinda. Rain. I already know that's where it's at.
Yeah, rain. You know why? Because it's affordable. It's actually very affordable. It was way more affordable than I thought it was going to be. By comparison to a lot of other things.
Well, me and my wife share.
You can share that. Well, I can only share a few things.
Get the Hawaiian.
They got avocado in almost everything, and I'm allergic to avocados, so.
Oh, bro.
I got to be careful. It's a sushi place, by the way, so everybody knows. Yeah,
it's amazing.
I'm going to do that fish on the rock kind of thing. I want to do that. Where you, they have it there.
So, Sakura, which I think they're closed now, right?
I believe so.
They used to have a thing called Texas sushi.
Ah.
It was either thin cut slices of ribeye or New York strip.
Oh, interesting.
And they bring out the hot rock. And you.
That's cool. Yeah, I like that.
Dude, it was so freaking good.
But what you were talking about is kind of reminds me of like my approach to that day. Like, I don't really like to acknowledge it. There's other reasons besides the fact, but you know, I don't like being the center of attention, right? And yet I do this. You know what I mean? We do this, and it's just like,
okay, so here's something that you really need to think about. This is a character shift for you.
True.
Okay, so you're making moves. You're putting the pawns out there and you're moving your queen now. Like, you're starting to make moves, like significant moves that are actually good for you. It is good for you to communicate and, you know, fellowship is key.
Yeah, for sure.
And the more that you do, the more, and I've noticed a huge change in you in the last year.
Yeah.
Like, you're very, used to be so reluctant to do anything as far as a group goes that you most certainly would be like, no.
Yeah.
Now you're starting to get to where it's like, you're like, for heaven's sake, bro, you were karaokeing with me.
My mind's telling me no.
Yeah. You were karaokeing with me. You're making changes. Like,
it's easy for me to do because I had you there. Well, right.
Okay. So look, you got your rock.
Right, okay? Right.
We've talked about this 100 times.
The shore.
You have your rock. You have your shore. That's where the waves are. They have to stop at some point.
Right.
So you have that.
Yeah.
Okay. When I say that you've changed and I'm not saying leaps and bounds. Significantly, you have made changes.
Right.
So, bro, come April 23rd, we're getting turned up on a Wednesday at rain.
I better take the 24th off.
Yeah. We're getting turned up on a Wednesday. I think there's a song like turned up on a Tuesday or something.
Club turned up on a Tuesday.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah, I think I remember that.
I wanted to share this video. We've been hanging on to this one for a little while, and it's because we knew that Easter was coming. And so I think from this week and
the emotion that this guy has and shows in his face is insane.
For the next couple of weeks, we're going to reference a lot of resurrection and Easter and stuff like that. And this one is different. I think we're going to go back to one that we've used before next
week. We've used part of this one. We've used this one before.
I think we probably have. But we're going to go ahead and let this one roll. And it says that the tag on the video is what really happened at the cross.
There are some words that should only be spoken with a trembling lip. I sometimes marvel at how carelessly we throw around the word redemption. For I've been redeemed. Yeah, you have. Through the death of God's own son, you've been redeemed. What really happened on the cross? You know, people think, well, you know, they beat Jesus and they put a crown of thorns on his head and they nailed him to a tree and they stuck a spear in his side. And those are the things you hear about, you know, what the Romans did to Jesus. Do you think that what the Romans did to Jesus pays for our sin? It's not what the Romans did to Jesus. It's what God did to Jesus. Now let me explain. In Isaiah 53, it said, "And it pleased the Lord, Yahweh, to crush him." God so loved the world, he sent his only son to be a substitute for us on that tree so that he would bear our sin. And in bearing our sin, all the wrath, the holy hatred of God against sin would fall upon him. And he would pay the very last cent until he cried out, what? It is finished. Do you remember when Jesus was in the garden and he prayed three times, let this cup pass from me, let this cup pass from me, let this cup pass from me? What was in the cup? If you go back into the Old Testament, it talks about the cup of God's wrath, of God's judgment that should be poured out upon the nations. And Jesus was in such anguish knowing he was going to have to drink this cup. And then people will go on and say, yes, it was so horrible, you know, the beatings and the crown of thorns and the crucifixion. Well, yes, it was all horrible, and that was a part of the redemption, but you're not understanding some things. Let me clarify. Do you know that in early Christianity, and until today, believers are crucified? Did you know that? As a matter of fact, Rome crucified so many Christians that they would set them on fire and use them as street lamps. And do you know that history also tells us that the followers of Jesus, many of them went to the cross singing hymns, counting it joy to suffer for him? So now explain this to me. How can the followers of Jesus go to the crucifixion singing hymns and counting it all joy when Jesus, the captain of their salvation, is in the Garden of Gethsemane crying out, oh God, let this pass from me? It's because when those believers were crucified, as believers still are today in some countries, God's pleasure is upon them. God's blessing is upon them. They know that God is with them. When Christ was on that cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because on that tree, you see, if he's our substitute, you and I in hell should experience wrath throughout all eternity. All that wrath was poured out on the Son. 3 hours of darkness. And people look at it as thinking it was rainy maybe, or there was lightning, or it was cloudy. I believe it was like the darkness that fell over Egypt, so that you could feel it. You could put your hand in front of your face and not even see. Because Christ had to be shut up alone. He couldn't even look out at the mourners and draw comfort. He had to be shut up completely alone. One man standing for us all. Completely alone. Cut off from men. Cut off from love. Cut off from mercy. Cut off from God. While billow after billow after billow of the wrath of God is poured out upon him, the very wrath that melts mountains and dries up seas is poured out upon him until finally the very last cent of our penalty is paid. And he cries out, It's finished. That's what Calvary's about. And I haven't even touched on it. I could spend a whole week with you going through each one of these things. That's what Calvary is about. That's why we serve him. That's why we love him. I'm not religious. I'm not tidy. I'm not cultured. I'm not well kept. There's one thing that holds me in place. He died for me.
Yeah, damn, that's a lot to But it speaks of the brevity, the gravity, the magnitude of what Christ paid, the penalty that was paid for our sin. And if we read through God's word, the longer that we read through it, we recognize that we can choose to do it without him, right? And in so choosing, we'll fail. Or we can choose to do it with him, and we can fail, but still receive mercy and grace for all the things that we deserve punishment for. And that's the point. That's what happened at the cross.
I can't end this with a joke.
Okay.
I can't end it with a joke. I'm going to pass the buck on to you for the wisdom, but I can't end this episode with a joke.
What should we end it with?
Thankfulness, prayer.
Heavenly Father, we submit ourselves to you in gratitude. In gratitude for knowing that you paid the penalty for something that we can never pay and really wouldn't be willing to pay. So, Father, we thank you that you were willing to pay that price for us. You are not only our Lord, but our Savior. And, Father, we ask that you help us to examine ourselves and to move forward and be pleasing to you, knowing that we will never get it right. But through you, all things are possible. Through our weaknesses, Father, you are made strong. So, Father, we will boast in our weakness and we'll continue to do what we do, thanking you that you have paid the penalty for sin that we could never pay. We love you, and we thank you for your mercy, for your forgiveness, for all the gifts and the promises that you've bestowed upon us undeservingly. And it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray.